Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week.
Rabbi Beryl Wein, we're back to talk this week about which parsha?
Parshat Vayishlach, which is the story of the encounter of Yaakov and Esav after Yaakov finally frees himself from the clutches of Lavan. He comes back home to the land of Israel, and here comes Esav with an army. Esav comes to endanger him. But somehow Yaakov finesses it very well. Bribes him, which always helps. And he exhibits a sense of servitude to Esav. He bows to him, and he compliments him, so that Esav really feels superior. Finally, he has a big stick too. Yaakov.
What's the big stick?
The big stick is that if you want to go to war with me, I'll go to war with you. So the rabbis say that you have to be prepared, ledoron, letfila, lemilchama. You have to be prepared, ledoron, you know, if money will do it, if being nice will do it, so we'll do it that way. And tfila is prayer. We have to have a spiritual sense of self-worth. And l'milchoma, and if necessary to fight, then we'll fight. If that's the only thing that's left to us. I think that the current situation that we are here in the land of Israel illustrates that. The Doran, I mean, we have tried to give a lot away. There's nobody there to take it. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be nice. Here you can have, and you know, doesn't take you anywhere. And we are trying to retain our sense of tefillah, our sense of morality, in a world that's pretty immoral. We try to retain our sense of justice, and not be indiscriminately violent, and not be indiscriminately hateful, and to allow all of the moral principles of democracy, but of Judaism, to still pertain in our country. But basically, finally, if it's war, then we're in a war. I mean, there's no nice way of saying that. And Esav backs off. He decides he'll take the gifts, and he decides that he'll go his own way, but he's going to come back later, he says. Well, Esav always comes back later. You never quite get rid of him. Yeah. But it allows Yaakov the breathing space. It allows him the flexibility to raise his family, to become stronger, and to build a foundation that Esav will find hard to completely eradicate and destroy. And that's the whole thrust of this parsha of Vayishlach, is how Yaakov tries to cope with all of these problems. Yaakov has to cope with Shechem and Hamor, who rape his daughter Dinah. He has to contend with all sorts of problems, and problems within the brothers themselves or within the family. With Reuven, it's not an easy matter that Yaakov has to go through. We'll see later in his life, Yaakov will say, Shemnei Chayai, the years of my life, Ma'at Veroim, they were few and they were bitter, they were bad, they never had an easy time of it. Which is what the Jewish people can say in retrospect over their history. But nevertheless, the ability to triumph, the ability to build, the ability to create, the ability to have that great foundation of family, of morality, not being crushed neither by Esav, nor by Lavan, nor by Shechem, nor by Hamor, not by the whole gang, but to be able to withstand it all, that's the greatness of Yaakov, and that's the thing that we try to imitate in our lives as well, is to be able to somehow work that way. So we are also prepared for Doron, Litvila, and Milchoma. We're also prepared We're prepared to give, and we're prepared to pray and be morally correct, but we're also prepared to fight. And the Lord should help us that at least one of those ways should work, maybe all three, and that somehow Asa will come to his senses. Asa will move on, because we're not the problem in the world. The world has to move on from us. And that's what Yaakov says to Esav, Ad asher ovo el Adoni Seiro. Eventually I'll come to Seir. Eventually you'll get it. You'll understand what happened here. And until then, I'm going to go my way and you go your way, and let us not interfere with each other.
We have time for one quick question. I just wanted to ask you, when one reads just the text alone of the Parsha, you get a sense that Yaakov lacks self-confidence in the confrontation with Esav since they were children, that he's right and Esav is wrong. There's not a clear sense
Very good, very good point. First of all, there's a guilty conscience here.
Right.
The guilty conscience, because after all, he did take the birthright. He took it legally, morally, but he took it from Esav, right?
Right.
Esav has a complaint. And secondly, Yaakov is pretty much, worn down by the 20 years in the house of love. Right? And all of a sudden, it's not a fresh Yaakov that's coming to face Esav. It's Yaakov after 20 years. He's old and gray and tired already. And that's what the rabbis mean. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but next week's Parsha, Vayeshev, it says, Bikesh Yaakov Leisha B'shalva. Yaakov wants to sit and retire already. He wants to clip coupons. He's not interested anymore in struggles. So when he meets Esav, all of that is reflected in his attitude towards him and the way he responds, right? So it's not smash on in your face. There are times in Jewish history when that worked, and there are times when it didn't work. But the general pattern, I think, is clear.
Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about Parshat Vayishlach.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.